Saga Egmont presents We All Fall Down by Cynthia Clark. Read by Rachel Atkins. Chapter 1. 1989. The sound was deafening. It rang in Bee's ears in a never-ending echo. The screeching of brakes, the clanging of metal, the ear-piercing screaming. Bee's brain hurt as she attempted to make sense of what was happening. She tried to look around, but was surrounded by darkness. Her breathing started getting heavier as panic set in. Where was she? And then she realized that her eyes were closed. She tried to open them, wondering why such a simple action required so much effort, terrified that it did. Her eyelids felt heavy, as if they'd been glued together. Her cheeks burned. Her mouth felt like parchment. She licked her lips to ease the dryness. Why did they taste like metal? And what was that warm, sticky substance covering them? Clenching her teeth, she winced as she finally opened her eyes. It was still dark. Bee's heart started beating faster and faster, so loud that she could hear it thumping in her ears. Boom, 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 boom. She started moving her right arm towards her face, wanting to find out what was obstructing her vision. The slight movement sent a sharp stabbing pain through her shoulders, shooting all the way down her spine. Ah! She cried, unable to keep the scream from escaping. She wanted to just lie there, not move, avoid any more pain. But the noises that surrounded her were petrifying. She had to find out what was happening. If this was a nightmare, she needed to wake herself up. For a few moments she remained still, trying to put the fragmented puzzle pieces together, distinguish between the cacophony of noises. The most obvious were sirens, a lot of them, one merging into the other. She could hear muffled voices. Straining her ears, she tried to make sense of what they were saying, but she couldn't make out the words. She could only discern a sense of urgency, short sentences, staccato orders. Again, she tried to move her arm, wincing through the pain, until her hand landed on her face. There was nothing covering her, nothing obstructing her vision. Why couldn't she see? Why was it so dark? Wasn't it supposed to be daylight? Closing her eyes tightly, she allowed her mind to go back to the events of that morning. Bee remembered the knock on the door and the feeling of dread when she realized that she'd overslept. She quickly jumped out of the small bed, oblivious to the creaking sound coming from the too old mattress. Her uniform was hanging on the door. Bee hastily removed her nightgown, throwing it back on the bed behind her, and slipped on her shirt, her fingers trembling as she fumbled with the tiny buttons, the anxiety costing her precious seconds. But she couldn't risk missing even one button. Everything had to be pristine. Miriam would notice even the slightest crease, the smallest scuff. Balancing on one foot, she pulled up her skirt, struggling with the hook and bar, and then pulling up the zip, twisting the garment round so that the opening was perfectly centered. It was cold, that January chill that seeped into your bones, but she didn't have time to put on tights. Instead, she grabbed a pair of ankle socks, pulling them on before quickly slipping her feet into the black T-bar shoes, as she wrapped the tie around her neck, knotting it expertly, her fingers flying over the thick fabric. She quickly made the bed, pulling the bottom sheet tight over the mattress, and then straightening the quilt, making sure there were no creases. Miriam would check. She always did. Turning round, she grabbed her blazer and put her right arm into the sleeve, picking up her bag as she continued putting it on. With trembling fingers, she opened the zip on her bag and peeked through a small, hardly visible tear in the lining, heaving a sigh of relief when she saw what she was looking for. Today, it was her turn. And she was ready.